Where? More.
Chicken lay. Good evening and welcome to Mouthful, smart talk about food, wine, and farming in Sonoma County and beyond. It's Michelle Lynn and Jordan Love in the studio. Thanks for tuning in. What a beautiful weekend, huh? Just gorgeous. And one thing I loved about this weekend, doesn't always happen this way, but it was the Apple Blossom Parade and Fair Festival this weekend, and it coincided with an abundance of apple blossoms. The countryside surrounding Sebastopol is just so gorgeous right now. So I hope you got to see part of the parade. It was really fun, either in the flesh or in the many videos that have been posted. I was in it with my three dachshunds, who were all very well behaved. It was quite fun. And then today was the farmer's market, of course, as was yesterday in Santa Rosa today. And tomato starts are out. Depending on where you live, it's a little bit early. But Cliff Silva of Ma and Pa's Garden, who has the most fabulous tomato starts, he sold 300 yesterday at the Santa Rosa Farmer's Market. And he had, I think, four tables full today. But it was still pretty early in the market when I left. I suspect they were all gone. And he will be there at both markets for the next several weeks. People come from all over to get Cliff's tomato starts. They're really great. And if you're a gardener, you definitely want to stay tuned for the full hour this evening. But I also want to tell you that plant sales are happening this month and next month. I'm going to try to do a roundup of those soon, but pay attention, because if you like to get your plant starts at local farms, Petaluma Bounty, for example, but also Occidental Arts and Ecology and a number of other places, there are great plant starts for the next several weeks. So we're going to have two topics tonight, two great topics. It's a wealth this week on Mouthful. We've got coming up in the second portion of the show an old friend who's probably here for probably at least the fourth time, Robert Corrick, who has a brand new book out that I predict is going to be a bestseller. It is called Lazy Ass Gardening, and the title says it all. So, Robert, you can certainly jump in anytime you want as I talk to our first guest. And we have Justin Reyes and Ashley Ewan, both of Gourmet Mushrooms / Mycopia. And there is a fungi fest coming up 2 weeks from today. And they agreed to come at the very last minute to tell you about it. So it's Sunday. Is it noon to 4, 10 to 4?
Yeah, so it's going to be 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Okay. With tours and live music running throughout the course of the event.
Great. And is it taking place inside and outside or all inside?
So it's primarily outside. So basically what we've done is turned our entire parking lot into the festival space. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be full of local artists, food, wine, beer, anything you can imagine. We've got just about 30 vendors that are going to be coming out to show you what they do and share their products with you. And then the tour portion will be inside our facility as well.
Okay. And it's a really great thing to see these mushrooms growing. I just love it. Can you tell us some of the vendors, some of the things that people will find, and the music too, of course?
Yeah, we're going to have a number of musicians out, including Burnside, the band, as well as a bunch of artists, special artists that are coming out for that. Dom Chi out of Sebastopol is one of them. Chimera Makerspace in Sebastopol is going to have a few artists out there as well. Vintage Modified is another band that's going to be coming out playing in the morning.
Vintage Modified
is a band.
Yeah, I always thought that was clothing, a line of repurposed clothing.
I think it's maybe also that. But yeah, bringing that vintage back into stream. And we're going to have lots of food out there. Seismic Brewing is going to be out, Bledo Vineyards, lots of food and wine.
Is the food going to be mushroom-based?
A lot of the food will be mushroom-based, and we're really excited about that, excited to bring our local partners into the event.
Who's going to be doing the food?
We have lots of food vendors coming out.
Oh, so different food vendors.
Different ones. We're doing a couple of things ourselves within the Mushroom Farm, and then a couple other ones as well.
Yeah, so for example, we have a mushroom jerky company. We have two, Sporgy and Jewels of the Forest. So you're going to be able to see what both of them are up to, as well as Rob with Three Leaves. He is going to be making some really tasty treats with the mushrooms. Another local nonprofit, Goatlandia, has a catering service that helps them support their rescue goats. So not only are they going to have their goats on site for you to enjoy and pet and play with, but they're going to be serving up some mushroom-based vegan dishes as well.
Okay, great. And then we should tell people that you're north of Sebastopol on Highway 116 on the east side of the street, the same driveway as that takes you to Mary Edwards Winery. How is parking going to work?
So we're actually going to have parking will be off-site. Tickets have to be purchased ahead of time. We will have some ticket purchases available at the parking lot at O'Reilly Center, Media Center in Sebastopol. There will not be parking on site, so that's something for people to be aware of. So definitely go online to our website and go to Eventbrite and search for Fungi Fest or Fungi Fest. And there'll be all the information that you need on there, as well as ticket sales. And of course, the festival is a fundraiser for Ceres Community Project, which is a great local nonprofit organization that works with local teens to produce food in their gardens, as well as to make meals for people that are undergoing severe illnesses. So it's a great local organization teaching teens how to cook healthy, wholesome meals in an industrial kitchen setting. Meanwhile, while providing food for people that have pretty severe illnesses out there in our community.
I've used them a few times and referred a lot of people to them, and they're right down the road from Jewels of the Forest, which is right down the road from where I live. So it's a very nice little Sebastopol scene. Will mushrooms be available for purchase?
Absolutely. So you are going to be able to purchase mushrooms similar to our farm sales that are every Friday from 1 to 3. 3-pound bags, wholesale pricing. We're also going to have mushroom gift baskets available, which will be a mix of the mushrooms.
Oh, nice.
So lots of mushrooms as well as other fungi-themed items for you to purchase there.
Excellent. And what's the cost?
So general admission is $20. Then tours are also an add-on item for an additional $10, which can be purchased when you purchase your ticket on Eventbrite or day of, which space is going to be limited. So I would recommend purchasing at the time that you get your ticket. And then you can also purchase an alcohol wristband, which comes with a stainless steel cup. That's really fantastic. We actually all really want one for ourselves. So,
and what's that?
So the stainless steel cup is just to help reduce waste. So it's a black stainless steel cup with the Mycopia logo on it. And it's just kind of a free gift that comes with the alcohol wristband.
And what's the cost of the alcohol?
That is going to be
$10.
And then that comes with your wristband, your cup, and 5 drink tickets, which can purchase either tastings or 5 tickets for a full pour.
Okay, great. And then is the food included?
All of the vendors are going to be providing free samples of the food, so that is something that you get to enjoy with your general admission ticket.
Okay, excellent. And again, you go to Eventbrite, or can you go to, is it Gourmet Mushrooms or Mycopia?
So it's both. Okay. So Gourmet Mushrooms is the name of the company. Mycopia is our brand.
But I meant the website.
So Mycopia.com.
Okay.
So Mycopia.com is our website. You can find a link on our events page. And then also if you search us on Eventbrite, it'll be under Fungi Fest 2019, I believe.
And of course, you can find links on Facebook and Instagram as well on our pages there to buy tickets as well.
Absolutely. I would assume that on the Friday before, so on the 26th, I would assume you probably won't be doing your farm sale.
You know what? We actually are still doing the farm sale.
Oh, you are? Okay.
Yeah. You know, we have some of our regulars that maybe can't come to the event, so mm-hmm. we don't want to let them down that week.
Absolutely. Whenever I see people buying mushrooms in, say, Andy's or Oliver's, and mm-hmm. if I'm in an outgoing mood, I tell them, I say, you like mushrooms. Do you know about? And they all pull paper out of their purse or pocket, and they start writing it down. So it's that farm sale is really wonderful.
I'm glad you brought up some of those local partners, of course, too, because a couple of those are our primary sponsors that have really gone above and beyond in helping make this event possible. Mm-hmm. So that would include Oliver's, Bank of America, Cinerama in Santa Rosa, as well as Moresco Distributing. And then lots of other providers as well that have also been helping to make this event possible. So again, go on to the Eventbrite, go on to our Facebook page, see the event, and you can see everybody that's helped make this event possible.
Excellent. And that, again, is on April 28th, 10 to 4 p.m. That's a Sunday, 2 weeks from today. And you'll get home in time to listen to Mouthful. How about that?
Perfect.
So thank you both so much for coming.
Thank you.
And we'll have to do another mushroom show before 2019 is over.
Absolutely.
I know that we had just the most fabulous show mm-hmm. and our equipment failed and didn't record it. I still gnash my teeth about that at 3 a.m. So we have to do a redux because we just got so much really great information.
Let's do it again. We'd love to.
Absolutely.
We definitely will. Okay. Take a little musical break and we'll be back to empower all you lazy people. You too can garden. Shonen Knife with Brown Mushrooms. So we are in the second Sunday of our membership drive, and Anthony is going to tell you about it, but I have to hand Anthony the microphone. So here we go.
That is the perfect phrase. Good evening, everyone. So we are still in our spring fundraiser. That means that we, as a public radio station, need to make a certain amount of fundraising money to be a public radio station. And by doing that, you can all help support our station, whether it's a one-time donation or you can become what's known as a sustaining member. That is a certain amount that is deducted automatically each month. So, for example, it could be $10 a month, and that's $120 a year. And not only are you supporting KRCB, but you also can receive items that we have. So, for example, one new item that we have is the Northern California Public Media Grain Bag. It's a cloth material that is a perfect reusable bag for whether you are in a bulk item section at the grocery store.
Farmer's Market Bag.
Farmer's Market Bag. It's fantastic. And that can be yours at the $40 donation level. And I highly recommend it. If you are interested, please go to norcalpublicmedia.org/donate. And you can find all the other items that we have available. We have CDs, we have t-shirts, we have hats, we have mugs.
We have membership to Acorn TV for a year, which is fabulous.
Yes, Passport is what it is. I think it's a separate service, but if you pledge $60 or more, you automatically have access to Passport, which is access to PBS stations online.
Oh, and so that gives you what's on Acorn, I guess.
Yes.
Okay, cool. Because I re-upped mm-hmm. after Mouthful last week. I went online and I did my duty and hope to get the Passport package.
Yeah.
Anyway, the other thing I wanted to tell you, yes, NorCal Public Media and all that, if it is in your head, krcb.org, as it is emblazoned on my brain, if you put that in, it'll still take you to the website.
Yes.
So, yeah. If you forget and think, oh, did they say media or not? Is it Northern California? Just put in KRCB.org and you'll be fine. Mm-hmm. And you can do it while you listen. It takes 30 seconds.
Exactly. Or if you happen to have our KRCB mobile app, you can be on the main page and you just go to the top right and there's a red heart. And if you have the app and always wondered what that was, that is for your donations.
There you go. And now, Robert Corrick, welcome back.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So this is the first time I've seen the book, and just thumbing through it really quickly. Of course, I know about it. You hired me for a little bit of work. But everything about this book says to me, it's the sort of thing that came to you in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
It was just there in your head, and you did a brain dump.
Yeah.
It feels compelling in that way.
Some people say it's a summary of all my work for the last 40 years, which is pretty impressive. I don't know if I agree with them, but it's got a lot of threads throughout my gardening life.
Well, sure, because gardening in the end is gardening.
Right.
But you've written some really detailed books. I love the book that talks about roots. Just so fascinated with roots. Roots and trees. So tell us about the genesis and the birth of the book.
Well, actually, I don't know if you know Myra Portwood. She used to have a bakery in Sebastopol.
Oh, yeah.
Back in the 80s.
Where is she?
She's on her little homestead, kind of cloistered in, I think. She hasn't talked to me in a long time.
Because she also had the Antique Society.
Yes,
she had a tea shop.
Yeah, tea shop.
And she had the most amazing pastries, French pastries. And she would come around and she would read, if you wanted her to, she'd read your tarot cards while you were eating pastries.
Well, her bakery in Sebastopol in 86 kind of fueled half my staff with the croissants that she made.
It was a great bakery. I wasn't living in Sebastopol yet. I moved there a year after she closed, I think.
Well, she, one day we were sitting around, she said, you ought to do a book on lazy butt gardening. So I changed the title.
And
it was her stimulation that got me going. It took about 3 years before I said, oh, I think I'm ready to do this. Mm-hmm. And I'm real happy with the title. The subtitle is Maximize Your Soil, Minimize Your Toil. But the other day I messed up and I said, maximize your soul, minimize your toil.
Yeah, you just did a signing at Amarisa's.
Yes, yesterday.
A great garden.
Yeah.
A great nursery.
Yeah, and they have a little planting around the perimeter of the nursery that's attractive as mm-hmm. well. We had about, I would say, if over 50 people showed up over the afternoon.
That's great.
That's nice. Yeah, and I got great exposure with Meg in the PD, mm-hmm. so that was helpful.
So tell us, how does somebody who really doesn't like to garden but wants a garden,
okay,
what do you do?
If you move to a new place, you don't do anything. For the first year, you observe.
Okay.
So you see what the sun is doing throughout the year, where the rain is draining to, what the soil looks like, feels like. Take some time to get to know your place. Now, that's the hard part for a lot of people, is not to, quote, do anything. But if you want to work with the soil some, just grow the kind of plants that improve the soil, and then you can have the soil in better shape when you get around to the actual gardening. So something like red clover, or in the winter, fava beans. Both are nitrogen-fixing plants that make a lot of nitrogen in the soil, in their roots. And then when you till them or cut them down and put in your compost, you've improved the soil greatly.
Mm-hmm. And for people whose eyes just glazed over, how do I plant red clover?
Well, you just it's a broadcast
seed. So you can just throw seeds outside?
Yeah, throw seeds out on a somewhat broken soil. Mm-hmm. And if you have to, rake them in a little bit. They just need a tiny bit of soil over the seed to germinate well.
Okay.
And you can do that in the fall, let the winter rains mm-hmm. Further their growth.
And one thing about growing red clover that's so nice is it's so gorgeous.
Yeah, well, it's an interesting conflict. The best way to get the most nitrogen out of a legume is to till it under or cut it down before it blooms.
Oh.
When most of the nitrogen is in the foliage. If you let it bloom, it's already translated a lot of nitrogen into the flower and the seed. So it's, you know, I had a friend that I walked up to her yard and it was just a blaze in red. And I said, well, you're missing out on the nitrogen. She says, I don't care. I like the way it looks.
Yeah, it's I really love red clover. It's gorgeous. Now, is that same thing true with fava beans? You have to turn it into the soil?
If you want to get the maximum nitrogen, you would turn in the soil when it's before it starts to flower much.
But so that makes a lot of sense about why so many people acted so surprised when suddenly fava beans were everywhere in farmers' markets. Like, oh, I didn't know they made something you could eat.
Yes, exactly. And basically, they're so bulky, you have to cut them and put them in a compost heap. And in the book, I talk about no more compost piles, not actively turning piles, but making heaps in a place where you don't see it. Because most people are too busy to do a pile where you've added manure and you till it and you turn it.
Just reading about it makes me want to take a nap.
Right. So basically it's maybe you're 2 years down the road before you harvest some good loamy soil, so to speak. But you have a lot less effort.
What about tilling? We hear a lot about no-till and how good no-till is. And I think you and I talked about that because it when you were on last time, because of the mycelium.
Yeah, the mushroom, beneficial fungi, mycelium. There's a whole chapter in the book about those guys because they really proliferate and help the plants grow, particularly trees. And when you till the soil, of course, you damage or destroy a lot of the mycelium. Basically, the book is sort of like a little poem to no-till, where it discusses a lot of things like the mycelium like to grow a lot in the top 4 inches of soil. So if you're cultivating the soil, you're definitely destroying the mycelium. But we have to be careful about no-till because the soil has to be up to a certain snuff to make it work. In a sandy loam soil, Gold Ridge loam like you have in Sebastopol, it's possible to maybe start out year one with no-till, but I would say maybe improve it for a year or two. But if you live in the gumbo of the plains of Santa Rosa, you need to do a lot of work to get the soil up to snuff.
Do you have adobe there?
Yeah, adobe soil, yeah. I call it gumbo. It's just as bad.
So that you have to, do you have to till it? Is tilling the way to go?
You don't have to till per se, but you have to mulch a lot.
Yeah.
And so, like, wood chips are great mulch, but you have to let them go for, you know, 2, 3, 4 years and replenish them before the surface of the soil gets loamy enough to kind of work with no-till. I encourage people to do no-till first with shrubbery and perennials before they try vegetables, because no-till with vegetables is a fairly sophisticated thing. It's not as easy as a lot of these articles would make it out to be.
Oh, interesting. How do you feel about the technique of putting down something like several layers of newspaper or cardboard and then putting 4 inches of mulch on top of that?
Well, I do that a lot. Okay. There's a friend of mine up in the state of Washington who is opposed to it because it cuts down the transfer of air into the soil and gases out of the soil. But to me, it's practical. I mean, basically.
And the cardboard, my understanding is whatever paper product you put down, that just disintegrates.
Well, the cardboard at my house lasts at least 2 years.
Oh, wow.
So I use it for my wisteria vine to keep the Bermuda grass from growing around it, but every 2-3 years I have to replenish it. Newspaper breaks down in usually one season. So when I was in Occidental, I used every spring. I might cut down the weeds a little bit, but I would definitely put the newspaper on top of them, crush them, and then put an attractive mulch on top of the newspaper and not have to weed the rest of the year.
I learned that technique from your friend Miley Arnold.
Yes.
And I did that. But then the last time I did it, it was so annoying. I did it beautifully and perfectly, but somehow there were grubs.
Oh, really? Grubs? I haven't had that problem.
And I have a lot of raccoons.
Oh, okay.
Raccoons tore up all the newspaper and mulch to get to the grubs.
Oh, my. That's a problem.
Yeah. Yeah. So
I've been fortunate then.
Yeah. And anyway, we won't go into my gardening problems. They're extensive. Because I think where I live is called Ecotone, which is, you know,
a transition area
from urban to rural, and I have all kinds of critters.
At the interface, and raccoons like that interface a lot.
And I have a lot. I have a lot of gophers, and I had last spring. I haven't seen her, and I'm sure it's a her. Haven't seen her this year. I had a blue heron.
Fantastic.
And I watched twice when she caught gophers.
Yes, that's good.
I've
heard about it, but I never. I saw one on the highway with a. I think a gopher, gopher in its beak, but I never saw the actual pounce.
Its beak straight into the soil and popped up. And, you know, it's rather, nature can be gruesome.
Right,
you know,
exactly.
It took quite a while. The gopher kicked a lot.
But it was quite a meal for the bird, though.
Yeah, and I eventually saw her eat it, swallow it, and saw, you know, the lump. And she was there. Gosh, I think for a good 2 or 3 weeks about this time last year. So it seems like it's not quite as wet as it was last year, but maybe I'm remembering wrong.
I'm not sure. I thought we had some later rains last year.
Yeah. But, right where I am, the all of the grassy or the weedy grasses, that sort of thing, they're all starting to dry out a little bit already.
Yeah. And we're supposed to get rain tomorrow, so maybe slow it down. Yeah.
Oh, that would be nice.
Up to over a quarter of an inch, perhaps.
Oh, tomorrow?
Yeah, in the afternoon.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's take a little musical break here. And are we going to go to Lavender Blue? This is in honor of Robert's work on lavender. He's the lavender man as well as the lazy-ass gardener. That is the Dinah Shore version of Lavender Blue. So, Robert, back in 92, 93, 94, we started to see an explosion, almost literally, of lavender.
Yeah.
That was when it was in the early 90s that they put in the, I think, 2.5-3 acre lavender field in Matanzas Creek.
Yeah.
And then suddenly, you know, there were, Matanzas Creek was having their lavender festival, and the place in Kenwood, place in Healdsburg, and then the place out off of, in West County.
Right.
So what's the story with lavender? Because you were doing, so you were traveling around the world giving lavender lectures.
Yeah, I gave a lecture in Australia.
And I thought you also did one in New Zealand, didn't you?
I wish.
Oh. Well, you did in my mind.
Well, that's good. Basically, the lavender really kicked off in a national level, 98, 2000, somewhere around there. And my book came out just about the beginning of the second, third, fourth craze, whatever it was. And I did it for Chronicle Books, and I have to say I made good money, which is hard to say as a garden writer.
It's hard to say as a writer.
But when it comes to lazy-ass gardening, I don't recommend lavender anymore. And even though I had a large collection of lavenders and Occidental in my garden, I knew how to prune them, and that was to cut back almost 90% of the foliage every year so that you only have an inch and a half of green leaf showing when you get done. And then it'll stay quite dense. But still, English lavender, 4, 5, 6 years. I had a Spanish lavender that lasted 15 years. But the average gardener just doesn't seem to get it together to prune correctly. So I don't recommend it. It's good for suppressing weeds.
Don't eat it.
Deer don't eat it, and gophers don't eat it.
Gophers don't eat it.
So that's good. And I eat it for barbecuing.
Well, yeah, you do your quail. Quail or chicken?
I use chicken, but...
I think I later did it in one of my books. I took your concept, but I did quail.
Yeah, that's a good way to go. And then I use a twig of the sweet English lavender in a martini, and that's just a nice little touch.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you add something, some sort of sweetener to the martini?
Nope.
No?
No. It's very delicate, but I like it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Friends of mine, it's not a lazy ass thing, but they make what we call lavancello. So you take limoncello and you add an overtone of lavender, and it's a fantastic combination of flavors.
Now, I've done lavender lemonade.
Oh, okay. That's
so
good.
So it's going to be similar.
Yeah. But limoncello, you got two, three, four steps.
Right.
And you have to actually pour stuff from one bottle to another.
Yeah, so we should say limoncello is lemon-flavored liqueur.
Right.
So
it's
pretty easy to add some lavender to that.
Yes, very easy. Not so easy to make it, but...
Yeah,
so I like simple things. We had a chapter going on lavender and other ingredients for making your own drinks.
I remember that chapter. I think I did a couple things
yes,
for you
exactly.
in that chapter.
I had to cut it because the book was getting so long.
Mm-hmm.
But we're going to have a Lazy Ass Gardening website, and then we'll put a lot of spillovers from the book and other tips and guidelines.
Mm-hmm. When do you think the website will happen?
A friend of mine is going to develop it this coming fall, so it'll be a while.
Okay.
I own the domains, but I'm gonna be busy selling this book between now and then.
Are you gonna be traveling?
No, it's mostly the internet websites and
because you self-publish.
Yeah, I self-published a book. I like radio shows the most because gardening radio shows I can talk to people who are calling in,
mm-hmm.
and they get a sense of how much I know, and then we can mention the title 5-6 times. We mm-hmm. can mention the website 5-6 times, mm-hmm. all that sort of thing.
So you do it by phone,
yeah.
all over the country.
Yeah.
How do they find you? How do you get on the shows?
Well, they find me through word of mouth, and I go to them.
You
I
do.
Have a list of garden shows that I send media packets to.
Mm-hmm. So you do your own publicity.
Yes.
You write the book. Do you do the layout?
I do the layout. I have artists do the. I have sketches that the artists work from.
Mm-hmm. I know you have what, 71?
71 mm-hmm. illustrations in this book and mm-hmm. 68 or so photographs in the middle.
Mm-hmm. Who did the photographs for you?
I did most of them.
So you do the photographs.
Yeah.
And then so you do the layout. How much of the design do you do like the cover design and then someone finishes it?
The cover, no. The covers are always done by Patty Batita.
Okay.
Because she's so good, and I don't have the expertise to get it down the way a printer would want it.
Right.
But I do the inside. I have a basic layout, and I work from. And laying out the book takes 2-3 times the effort compared to writing the book.
Right.
So it's like all self-publishing, writing is the easiest or the simplest or the shortest part of the process is producing it and then advertising.
Mm-hmm. So you do that. You do all the publicity as well.
I do a lot of the publicity, but also I'm very fortunate. I have Chelsea Green as my distributor. So they take care of all the bookstores and places like Harmony Farm Supply and Amazon. So if I didn't have them, I wouldn't be doing it.
Yeah, that is eyes glaze over hard.
Right, exactly.
Hard work.
Oof. And what's interesting is I asked them about how much Amazon was doing for my book, and only 20% of my sales that month came from Amazon. The rest came from bookstores.
That is outstanding.
Yes.
Now, was it this book already?
No, it was Understanding Roots,
okay.
which is a book that once you look at it and feel it, so to speak, you buy it.
It's a fabulous book.
But looking at it on the internet, it's not as easy to get a feel for it.
Mm-hmm.
But the Lazy Ass Gardening book, they're only ordering to start off 140 copies.
Who is?
Amazon. But my distributor already has orders for 250. So that's a pretty good start. Because
it came out like 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, for the general public, it's not out yet. Technically on Amazon, April 16th is the launch day. My official launch day for here was April 1st
mm-hmm.
because I was fooling around.
So tell us some more things that the lazy-ass gardener should know and to do from their hammock with a drink in their hand.
Exactly. There's a silhouette of that in the book. Well, you'll like this. They shouldn't grow vegetables.
No, you should go to your farmer's market.
Exactly.
Those farmers work hard. You don't
right.
need to grow vegetables.
Now, the problem with the book is it's written for the whole country, and my research showed that there's maybe only 8,000 farmer's markets in the country right now, but they're starting to sprout up real fast. But to me, it's the idea of the $5 tomato, particularly around here. People struggle so much and put in so much effort to get a decent tomato come September, whereas in St. Louis, excuse me, where my dad grew up, you just put a lousy looking plant in May, end of May, and you eat tomatoes in July.
I quit trying to grow tomatoes, even with Cliff Silva's fabulous tomato starts.
Right.
I have a weird, well, first of all, I have a weird footprint where I am, but I have a huge fluctuation in temperature.
Yes.
Nights can get really cold. They can go way under, what is it, 56 degrees. You don't want your tomatoes to be go under that.
The pollen doesn't shed.
And plus they get mealy.
Yep.
Once you have tomatoes. But also, there are times where I am in the afternoons where it gets between 90 and 105. And I think tomatoes get really upset if it's over about 95.
Well, the pollen doesn't shed when it's that hot. Yeah. So they're not in the ordinary range of things.
Yeah. So I thought, you know, there's certain things I can grow herbs really well. I can grow a lot of flowers. I do better with perennials than I do annuals.
Yes, that's what I recommend.
Yeah. I do pretty well with perennials. Arbutins do really well.
Yes, sir. Yeah, and they like the shade more so than
the they're planted all on the north side of my house, and they're all in the shade, and they do really, really. I cut them down to like a foot, and, you know, 3 months later, they're 7 feet tall again.
Right. Well, I'm a little bit prejudiced towards tree crops because they're perennials. I mean, you've put them in once.
Mm-hmm. And now, do you mean fruit?
Yeah, fruit.
Okay, fruit.
But I have a lengthy discussion in the book about how to get fruit without pruning. As I call it shaping. What you do is you use toothpicks and clothespins. And
really?
a branch is most fruitful at a 45-degree angle from its branch. So if you take a very young shoot that's like 6-8 inches long, you spread, and it's too narrow, you spread it out with a toothpick and hold it at that 45-degree angle. Then at the end of the summer, you can knock the toothpick off and it holds that angle. If you
So you have a shoot that is going to become a branch.
Yes.
And you bend it.
You bend it out to
young.
The wider angle, yes.
Ah.
And if it's a little bit too stiff, I add clothespins. I weight down the outside edge or length of the shoot. And when you have an arch, the outer portion of the arch from the center point at the top towards the tip at the it's bent down at that point, that's where the fruit forms. So if you use your clothespins once in the first year in the summer, then that starts to fruit, and the weight of the fruit keeps the limb down and makes more fruit. So you can have a form of espalier, but a whole lot less effort. It gets to be wide, a foot or 2 or 3 feet wide and whatever length, but it takes almost no effort.
I do everything wrong.
No, you don't.
My quince trees, all the branches go straight up.
Oh, okay, yeah.
But well, I still get a lot of quince.
Oh, yeah, that's what's nice about quince are one of the fruits that bears on New Year's wood. So unlike an apple, you don't have to prune to get a very decent crop in the second or third year. The quince just sends out new growth, makes blossoms, and makes fruit. So it's less dependent upon branch angle.
Okay, good. Because I have a ton of flowers on the quince tree right now.
Right.
A ton. If they don't get knocked off early.
Yes.
It's going to be a huge quince crop this year.
Good, good. I love them.
What do you like to do with them?
With lamb. I have a recipe in my edible landscape book from a Portuguese woman in Marin, and she taught me that quince and lamb are a great combination.
They are. I like to make membrillo.
Oh, I don't know what that is.
Oh, quince paste.
Oh, okay. I didn't know by that name.
Oh, membrillo. It's the Spanish name. And the last 4 or 5 years, we're starting to see it, say, in cheese sections at Oliver's, Pacific Market,
I've
that sort
that.
Of thing.
Yeah.
And it often says, it's often identified as membrillo.
Oh, that's good to know.
So you ever want any quince paste, you tell me.
Okay, I will.
I made about 75 jars this winter.
Wow.
And I've got about... Yeah, I've got about 18 jars left.
Great. Well, there's an interesting thing that's kind of borderline, is it lazy or not? And that's grafting trees. I didn't put anything...
That's not lazy.
I know. People think it's too much work, but it's really not that hard of a skill if somebody teaches you. But to learn from a book, it's almost impossible.
I've seen it done, and it really, and I was joking, it really doesn't take very long, and it really is easy.
Yeah, so like I had a tree in Occidental where there were 6 varieties of apples. Mm-hmm. So it was not that big of a tree, so I just ate apples throughout the season. So I had some apples in July, I had apples in November, and I wasn't overwhelmed. You don't get guilty.
Right.
But stuck with 500 pounds of Gravenstein.
Yeah. And then there's a guy whose house I visited once. I didn't visit it in season, but he has a fruit salad tree.
Yes. If you have a plum, not apple, you can only grow apples on apples and pears on pears. But that Portuguese woman with the quince, she had a tree. The first time I ever saw a fruit salad tree, it had many types of plums, it had almonds, peaches, and nectarines. Now, you can't do cherries on there. Cherries are on cherries only.
Okay.
But the rest of those, you know, you've got a million selections of plums to work with.
Plums are so wonderful. I love plums.
And I like prunes as a fresh fruit.
Mm-hmm.
They're fantastic. Plums. Yes.
Yeah. I'm just such a fan of Santa Rosa plums.
Yeah. Good old Burbank.
Yeah. And the season's short. The season's just 2 or 3 weeks.
Right. But there's other plums that ripen at different times of the year.
Absolutely. Absolutely. What about watering?
Well, in the book, the chapter is called Elegant Irrigation. And I'm a proponent of what's called inline emitter tubing, where the emitter itself is built inside the tube itself. There's nothing to break off. So there's a hole where the water comes out, but the actual control mechanism is built inside the tube. So all you have to do is roll it out, flush it a little bit, cap off the end, you're done.
Where do you get that?
You can get it at Harmony Farm Supply and Wyatt Irrigation.
And what's it called?
Inline emitter tubing.
Inline
emitter tubing. That's the generic name for it.
Emitter tubing. That sounds right up my alley.
Yeah, and so what I do is I roll it out like lines, like sheet music, parallel lines.
Uh-huh.
And I get the entire root zone irrigated. So things just bounce out of the ground. Because you're not putting one drop of water at the base of one plant.
Mm-hmm.
You're feeding the whole root system.
Mm-hmm. That sounds great. And I water by hand.
Well,
and that's not nothing, lazy.
Right. Exactly. Some people like the meditation, but I don't know many people that do.
You know, I don't. And when the plants need it most, when it's hot, I don't feel like going outside.
Yeah.
So well, it sounds really good.
We've got our containers on automatic drip. And so throughout the summer, they come on every 3 or 5 minutes every day. And therefore, the soil doesn't pull away from the pot.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't just drip down between the soil and the pot.
Yeah.
And you get the best growth possible.
That sounds great. I want you to come over and garden at my house. Where can people get the book in Sonoma County?
In Sonoma County right now, I don't think it's anywhere except my website.
Okay.
Because Chelsea Green just got samples to people last week.
Okay.
I sell it for $20 on my website instead of $25. So it's $20, includes shipping and includes tax.
That includes shipping?
Shipping.
Wow, that's a deal.
Yeah, it's a deal. And it has to, because of Amazon. Amazon's done more to make it difficult for self-publishers than anything.
But I just sent something to Vallejo, to a friend. I sent a very small gift in a small box, and I took it to the UPS store in Sebastopol to mail it. It was $19.
Oh my!
To mail this little gift. It cost more to mail than it did to buy the gift.
Well, see, the thing with books is they're called media mail.
Yeah, you can do the media rate.
And it's just $4.
Oh, $4. Okay.
No. $3.27.
Anywhere in the country?
That's what it cost me.
Oh, that's good to know.
Even to Alaska.
Really?
But it has
to
be
being overcharged.
A book. Yeah.
I've definitely been being overcharged.
Yeah.
I will have to look into that.
Right.
Are you going to be doing any more book signings locally so people can come buy direct from you?
No, I'm not. I'm doing everything radio.
Well, you need to be at you should be at Harmony Farms.
Well, they're talking about it, but mm-hmm. we haven't set up anything. So it's
and
in
you
the
know
works.
Well, you know where else you should go? I'll think of it in a second. They've been a guest on Mouthful. They're on Avalo.
Oh, I don't know them.
Oh, I will introduce you to Avalo. In fact, I want to have Avalo back. They make gardening for the really, really lazy person. They will install raised beds.
Oh, okay, great.
And they maintain them for it. And they have their own patented way of watering and wicking up the moisture that's pretty interesting. And they have different sizes. And they will, they have two levels. They have the super lazy level where they come and do everything, including harvest. And then they have the one where they're available as a consultant after they install things. You can call them, but then you harvest your own stuff and that sort of thing. And then after a year, it's yours.
Great. That's wonderful. So,
and they have a little store, a little storefront with a little retail section and some well-chosen book titles and well-chosen retail items. So that would be a great...
Yeah, that would be a wonderful
really
place.
Great place for you. I will definitely make that introduction.
Great.
Because you just fit right in and you will love them. They're wonderful people. So, and I will let people know if you're going to do another local signing, you let me know.
Okay.
And let's talk a little bit about your website. Are all of your books available?
Well, the ones are still in print. So basically, it's one root book, drip irrigation book, and the Lazy Ass Gardening book.
Okay.
Most of the other books are out of print.
I hate it when that happens.
Yeah.
Happens to
some
me a lot.
Because the sales went way down. I stopped doing Roots Demystified thinking I would transfer everybody to Understanding Roots. Didn't happen.
Oh.
So I should have kept Roots Demystified still in print.
And you can't go back
well,
and do
I could
that?
Go back, but it'd be a lot of money.
But that's a really good book.
Yeah, people
I really
like
that book.
Yeah. So I've kind of moved on from Roots, and I'll just be lazy and not promote them.
There you go. And your website is?
My name, Robert Couric, K-O-U-R-I-K. So it's Robert Couric, no space, .com.
There you go. Pretty easy. Robert Couric. If you forget, you can always send me an email at catsmilk@sonic.net. I will be happy to send that information to you. And the title of the book, Lazy Ass Gardening. It's got a fetching cover. Someone drinking a beer, sitting in a wheelbarrow with a spider web growing on it. That's fabulous. Maximize your soil, minimize your toil. It really is a charming book, Robert. Congratulations.
Thank you.
It's really wonderful. And come back. We're going to take like another 2 or 3 minutes to tell you, you need, if you would, please, throw a little love Mouthful's way. I've been doing the show for 25 years. In case you don't know, it's not my job. I'm a volunteer. I've been a volunteer since I first went on mic because I love Sonoma County. I love having access to the airwaves, and I'm just really dedicated to the sort of conversation that I get to have with listeners, and I really appreciate that you tune in, whether you tune in live when we broadcast or if you listen to it tomorrow, next month, 3 years from now, it will be available as a podcast. So there's all kinds of levels, and if what you have is $10 and you want to support Mouthful, we welcome that and say a great big thank you. And you do it by going to norcalpublicmedia.org/donate. I did it myself last Sunday night. It was really, really easy. It took almost no time at all. And I even scrolled through all of the thank you gifts. I actually got the Bluetooth speaker.
That's a nice one.
Is it? Have you seen it?
Yes. Yeah. You can bring it anywhere. It's rechargeable.
And yeah, rechargeable.
Yeah, it's got the KRCB logo on it. It's all ready to go.
So it'll be, you'll look at KRCB if you stare at your speaker.
Yes.
But it's nice, and it's perfect for the lazy-ass gardener.
Yep.
Because you can take your music easily outside without blasting your neighbors.
Exactly.
And sit down in your garden.
There you go.
Uh-huh.
With a lavender martini.
Exactly.
Yeah, and you don't have to worry about doing the whole cup trick where you put your phone into a cup to amplify it. So you just sync it up. Hey, why not sync it with the KRCB mobile app? It's really easy to do. And you have a mobile rig.
There you go.
Yeah. So again, the phone number here is 707-584-2020. There are no operators right now, but we can be be out there at 7 o'clock. Again, you can also go to norcalpublicmedia.org/donate, or we have a new text to give option. So you text the word NORCAL to the number 243-725. Again, the word, all one word, NORCAL to the number 243-725.
Wow, that makes it really easy.
Very easy.
And then what happens when you do that?
I believe it gives you an option or a prompt to enter the amount you'd like to donate.
Oh, okay.
Or how it cool. sends you a link or something. But again, it's really helpful for, mm-hmm. for people who are, you know, at work or in an area where they can't, you know, necessarily call or...
Sure. Absolutely. That's another really great, easy option. And... Yeah. I think next Sunday we're going to have an archive mm-hmm. because it is Easter Sunday.
Yes.
And I would be willing to be here, but it's very hard to get guests. And you already heard me yammer by myself. Well, me and Anthony talk last Sunday. So we're going to let all potential guests have the Sunday off. And we will be back here on the 28th after the Fungi Fest for another yummy episode of Mouthful, Smart Talk about Food, Wine, and Farming here on KRCB-FM. Have a great week.
Cash crop growing strong.